from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo instructing the police to take action in cases of violence against religious leaders. President Joko Widodo appreciates an award of the world's best minister to Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati. Now the news in detail. Speaking after the opening of the working meeting of Indonesian representative heads in Jakarta, President Joko Widodo said that the Indonesian constitution has guaranteed freedom of religion. The Indonesian nation, according to the president, has coexisted in a long period of time so that the state does not provide a place for all acts of intolerance. I want to say there is no place for those who are incapable of tolerating each other in Indonesia, moreover by committing violence. I have ordered the authorities to act decisively and the state guarantees the enforcement of constitution continuously. Previously, it was reported there were various cases of violence against a number of religious leaders in several regions in Indonesia. Since the beginning of February, there have been at least 4 cases of violence against religious leaders, namely in Tangerang, Banten, West Java, and Yogyakarta. Indonesia's President Joko Widodo expressed his appreciation for the World's Best Minister Award given to the Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati. After attending the opening of the working meeting of Indonesian representatives head in Jakarta on Monday, February 12, President Joko Widodo said the assessment shows Indonesia's effective and prudent economic performance. In addition, the president also said that the award also shows the world's recognition to the domestic economic management. The award was handed over directly by Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum to the minister, while the determination is also based on a long analysis of Ernst & Young, an institution that has a very good world reputation. Yes, I think the whole community is proud of her, and we realize that the assessment shows our macroeconomic management, fiscal macroeconomic management, our APBN management are handled in effective track position. Yes, it's the world recognition for one minister only. I think we are all proud of her. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati reached the World Best Minister Award at the World Government Summit in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. The award was handed over directly by the leader of Dubai, Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum. The best ministerial award in the world is given to one minister for all over the world annually. The award, which was started to be given in 2016 through a rigorous selection process and the determination was made by the independent agency of Ernst & Young and hosted by the World Government Summit. Indonesian President Joko Widodo highlighted the importance of diplomats to pay attention to Indonesia's economic diplomacy effort. This was conveyed by the President when opening the work meeting of the Indonesian Heads of Representatives at Gedung Pancasila, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, in Jakarta on Monday, February 12. In his speech, the President said diplomats should be able to develop Indonesia's export to non-traditional markets rather than relying solely on traditional markets. Related to that, the President stressed the importance of conducting market intelligence to find the appropriate products needed by friendly countries. While in the investment sector, the President also highlighted the importance of increasing investment from friendly countries to Indonesia and vice versa. President Joko Widodo also hoped that diplomats can start promoting Indonesia Expo to be held in October. He wants diplomats to attract many investors through the Indonesia's biggest exhibition.
Meski diplomasi, perdamaian, dan kemanusiaan kita diacungi jempol, namun kita perlu masih.
Although our peace and humanitarian diplomacy got higher appreciation, we need to boost effort in economic diplomacy. We still need and more seriously work on non-traditional markets. Secondly, relating to the market intelligence should be done in detail. Later, we can decide it in the plenary session. And thirdly, is related to the economic diplomacy, namely investment opportunities. The investment opportunities in the country and their investor opportunities to enter our country. Fourthly, is related to the Indonesia Expo in October. Put all effort to bring as many buyers as possible and do promotion from now on. In addition to economic diplomacy, President Joko Widodo also mentioned that Indonesia has also contributed in maintaining the world's peace. Indonesia's peace diplomacy, according to the President, has even received appreciation from a number of heads of state in the world. Indonesia, according to the President, has also taken measures to protect Indonesian citizens abroad. Related to this, the President expected that each representative office of Indonesia abroad can create a database of all Indonesian citizens in each destination country to further improve the protection of Indonesian citizens. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. National Police ensures that the Special Detachment Densus 88 Anti-Terror Unit will participate in handling the probe on the attack on Santa Lidwina Church in Sleman, Yogyakarta on Sunday, February 11. From an interim report, the perpetrator seemed to perform the action alone, but the police will not conclude that simply. Inspector General Police Aridono Sukmanto said on Sunday in Yogyakarta that he asked the Yogyakarta Police to collect information from the community organizations to solve this case. Pantirapi Hospital, where the wounded victims are being treated, still guarded by police with a long barrel at each entrance. A police officer at the hospital entrance said there is one platoon or 30 people guarding until the victims can go home. There are three people who are being treated in Pantirapi, Father Edmund Prier, and two other victims who have been wounded on their head and back at the scene Lidwina Church. General Election Commission KPU sets a special target for the number of voters participating in 2018 general election. KPU Commissioner Ilham Saputra said in South Jakarta on Sunday, February 11, that the target is 77.5% participation of voters to cast their votes. Ilham stated that such a figure is based on synchronization of data on potential voters and final voter list DPT, who is 163,146,802 voters. Out of the total number of voters, 530,976 of which are the disabled. He said the number is 83% out of the number of voters nationwide. Ilham emphasized that KPU will carry out massive dissemination. Even though so far, he went on, dissemination has been done pretty well from central areas to local areas. especially dissemination is devoted to first-time voters. They are our main target. Indonesia remained unbeaten in the men's team category as it retained the Badminton Asia Team Championship title after thrashing China 3-1 on Sunday, February 11. Meanwhile, the Indonesian women's team were halted in the Saturday semifinals after being beaten 3-0 by Japan. The championships in Malaysia acts as a qualifier for the upcoming World Thomas Cup men's team and Uber Cup women's team competitions, which will be held in Bangkok in May. It means that Indonesia secured both spots in the cup. Facing arch rival China in Sunday's battle, Indonesia's second best men's singles player Jonathan Christie played well as they nailed the important winning point as a starter. In appreciation of Jonathan's success, Ahsan and Angga continued Indonesia's domination by thrashing world number 41 pair He Jiting and Tan Kiang 21-19-21-18. In another decisive match, however, senior and junior shuttle pair Hendra Setiawan and Rian Agung Saputra outclassed Hang Chengkai and Zhou Haodong 21-14-21-19 in 38 minutes with Indonesia nailing the crown. The last item, Araflexia bengkuluensis and Araflexia gadutensis flowers are now in bloom in Bengkulu Province, Sumatra Island. And Diana, member of the Padang Guci Youth Rare Flower Community, said in Bengkulu on Monday that he found Araflexia bengkuluensis in bloom in its habitat in Penangkulan River Basin area. The bengkuluensis found in Manau 9 village, Kaur district, is expected to be in full bloom on Tuesday, February 13. Araflexia gadutensis is now in full bloom in Bowen Lies Protected Forest in North Bengkulu District. Ricky Septian, a member of the North Bengkulu Community for Rare Flowers, said the flower petals are open perfectly at present. Many domestic and foreign tourists visited Bowen Lies and Bukit Daun Protected Forest located in North and Central Bengkulu districts to enjoy watching the giant flowers in their habitats. Ricky said the community has made a path and provided homestay accommodation for tourists. Bengkulu Province has identified at least 5 Araflexia flower species, notably Araflexia arnoldi, Araflexia bengkuluensis, Araflexia gadutensis, Araflexia hasselti, and Araflexia kemumu. Listener, that was the news from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is The Role of Religious Leaders in Strengthening Harmony. While listener, in his speech before the participants of extraordinary meeting of religious leaders at the Presidential Palace in Bogor, West Java on Saturday, President Joko Widodo expressed his gratitude to the religious leaders and community leaders. They are considered to have strengthened the harmony of the nation and are committed to strengthening the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. The state principle of Pancasila and Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, which means unity in diversity. Indonesia is a pluralistic country that has people with different ethnic and religious backgrounds. But the pluralism does not make Indonesia split. Indeed, the pluralism itself unites the Indonesian nation. Religious issue and diversity often pose tension in the social life of the community. The presence of a group fanatic towards a particular religion may result in tension, conflict, violence, and even murder in the name of religion. In addition, ethnic, religious, racial, and interreligious issues or SARA sometimes so quickly spread to various layers of society. As a result, this may create an atmosphere of conflict that is quite dangerous in the light of the nation. The escalation of disputes in the matter of Sahara issues often poses violent and distressing conflicts. Indonesia used to undergo conflict in the name of religion. Since reform era started in 1998, Indonesian people have experienced the era of freedom of expression and expression of opinion. At that time, there had been several conflicts in the name of religion. Let's take, for example, the conflict that occurred in Poso Central, Sulawesi, in 1998-2000, conflict in Ambon, Maluku, in 1999, and in South Lampung, 2015. Religious conflicts that have occurred in a small part of Indonesia became a historical note for Indonesia. This proves that Indonesia is still very vulnerable to conflicts due to different beliefs. In this regard, the religious leaders must play a major role to reduce the possible conflict in a bid to strengthen the national unity. In addressing the conflicts with motives of ethnic, religious, racial, and interreligious issues, or SARA, the religious leaders must play their key role, especially in 2018, on which Indonesia will hold regional head election or pilkada simultaneously, and in 2019, the presidential election will take place. Both of these events are particularly vulnerable to conflicts, especially if some individuals or groups relate to SARA issues. Basically, any conflict may occur not because of different views or beliefs. However, it is caused with the actions of individuals or groups that incite the anger of one other group. Of course, this should be scoffed with, especially by religious leaders. Because if this is not immediately addressed, the impact not only harms those who are in conflict, but also can threaten the integrity of the entire state of Republic of Indonesia. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Our program today in history, we start from an event on February 12, 1912, the last monarch in China, Qin Dynasty, fell. At the outset, China's elite and people began to be frustrated because of rejection of Qin Dynasty to reform and the weakness of the kingdom on political maneuver of foreign countries. This made the rise of revolution on the government of the kingdom. Under inspiration and ideas of Dr. Sun Yat-sen, the revolution brought about the desire to eliminate the kingdom system and apply a system of republic in China. Finally, on February 12, 1912, the last emperor of Qin, the Emperor Xuantong or Puying, quit from his throne following Xinhai Revolution occurred. A month later, on March 12, 1912, the Republic of China was established and Sun Yat-sen was the first president of China. The next event was in 1946 when the Deadlight Operation ended. The Deadlight Operation was a code to sink U-boat submarine belonging to Germany, which surrendered to the Allies in the late World War II. Front 154 U-boat, which surrendered, 121 were sunk at the Liskelly Sea in the North Island or Lake Lothrand, Scotland. In late 1945 until early 1946. Some U-boats succeeded to escape from Deadlight Operation because they did not want to surrender after Germany surrendered to the Allies. Some submarines were claimed as gifts by Great Britain, France, Norway, and Soviet Union. Four submarines were at Far East when Germany surrendered and commanded by a Japanese Emperor. Finally, on February 12, 1946, the operation was stopped. And the last event was in 2002 when Slobodan Milosevic session was begun at War Criminal Court at United Nations in Den Haag. Slobodan Milosevic was the president of Serbia and Yugoslavia. He was installed the president of Serbia in 1989-1997 and president of Federal Republic of Federal Yugoslavia in 1997 and 2000. After Balkan complete, Slobodan Milosevic, based on the verdict of the Human Rights International Court in the Den Haag, was looked for and succeeded to be arrested with the allegation of war crimes. Slobodan Milosevic was on trial for war and human crimes in Kosovo, such as clean of ethnic or genocide on Balkan conflict. On March 11, 2006, he committed suicide at the Den Haag at the age of 64 years. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with daily segment My Indonesia. Today, it's on Japanese credit rating agency raises Indonesia's position. Japanese Credit Rating Agency Limited, or GCR, upgraded Indonesia's sovereign credit rating from BBB- positive outlook to BBB stable outlook. The upgrade was announced on Thursday, February 8th. In a press release, GCR stated that the key factor supporting the increase of Indonesia's sovereign credit rating is the government's synergy efforts in carrying out structural reforms to achieve sustainable economic growth. This has a positive impact and is reflected in the increasingly conducive investment climate condition driven by various economic policy packages. In addition, the momentum of infrastructure development also is strengthened through the initiative of the National Strategic Projects, and Japan Credit Rating also acknowledged that the 15 economic policy packages and the policy rate decline by Bank Indonesia have boosted private investment, especially in non-commodity sector. In addition, the decrease in current account deficit remains below the controlled level. High foreign exchange reserves are also factors that upgraded the rating. All these conditions illustrate the strengthening of Indonesia's resilience to external turmoil. Japan Credit Rating also noted that Indonesia's banking sector remains healthy and financing through financial market is growing strong. This is reflected in the issuance of increased shares, bonds, and medium-term notes. On the fiscal side, the GCR, or Japan Credit Rating Agency, acknowledged the government's fiscal reforms in the form of shifting subsidized spending to infrastructure. Health and education spending has reduced the fiscal deficit and increased spending efficiency. Responding to the rating increase, Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo said this reflects the increasing confidence of international institutions to strengthening Indonesia's economic fundamentals and the government's commitment to improve the economic structure in the future. Agus Martowardoyo, in his official statement in Jakarta on Thursday, asserted that the achievement also shows a harmonious policy synergy between Bank Indonesia and the government that is able to maintain macroeconomic stability and financial system. All of them provide a conducive atmosphere for sustainable economic growth. According to Agus Martowardoyo, in the future, Bank Indonesia will be more optimizing macroprudential policy and deepening financial market in the policy mix. Bank Indonesia will also continue to provide concrete commitments and contribution to support the government's structural reform efforts for a stronger, more sustainable, and inclusive economic growth. Meanwhile, Executive Director of the Department of Communication of Bank Indonesia, Agusman, said the growth of corporate external debt also slowed as a result of prudent implementation in the management of corporate foreign debt regulated by Bank Indonesia, thereby increasing the resilience of Indonesia's external sector. Well, that was my Indonesia Today on Japanese credit rating agency raises Indonesia's position. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Speaking after the opening of the working meeting of Indonesian representatives' heads in Jakarta, President Joko Widodo said that the Indonesian constitution has guaranteed freedom of religion. The Indonesian nation, according to the president, has coexisted in a long period of time so that the state does not provide a place for all acts of intolerance. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed his appreciation for the World Best Minister Award given to the Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati. Indonesian President Joko Widodo highlighted the importance of diplomats to pay attention to Indonesia's economic diplomacy effort. This was conveyed by the president when opening the work meeting of the Indonesian House of Representatives at Gedung Pancasila, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Monday. National Police ensures that the Special Detachment Densus 88 Anti-Terror Unit will participate in handling the probe of the attack on Santa Lidwina Church in Sleman, Yogyakarta on Sunday. General Election Commission KPU sets a special target for the number of voters participating in 2018 general election. Indonesia remained unbeaten in the men's team category as it retained the Badminton Asian Team Championship title after thrashing China 3-1 on Sunday. Meanwhile, the Indonesian women's team were halted in the Saturday semifinals after being beaten 3-0 by Japan. The last item. Rafflesia bengkuluensis and Rafflesia gadutensis flowers are now in bloom in Bengkulu Province, Sumatra Island. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Lawang Sewu in Central Java Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, Semarang is capital city of Central Java. The city is the fifth biggest city in Indonesia after Jakarta, Surabaya, Medan, and Bandung. The city has a lot of tourism destinations, beginning from natural, religious, and historical tourism objects. One of Semarang historical tourism objects, which is well known, is Lawang Sewu, which was built in the Dutch colonial. Listeners, Lawang Sewu was built on February 27, 1904, as head office of Nice, one of the trade companies in the Dutch East Indies. The building has high and wide windows like a door, so that local people call it Lawang Sewu, meaning a thousand of doors. Although the building is named Lawang Sewu, in fact, the building has only 429 doors. For a long time, the building was not managed. But finally, Lawang Sewu in late June 2011 was renovated and reopened for public on July 5, 2011. Listeners, because the building was built as head office of Nice, the history of Lawang Sewu cannot be separated from railway in Indonesia. After the independence of Indonesia, the building is used as railway office of Indonesia, or now PT Kereta Api Indonesia. Besides, it was used to as office of infrastructure of Regional Military Command and Regional Office of Ministry of Transportation in Central Java. Meanwhile, during the struggling period, the building became a silent witness of five-day battle in Semarang. Thus, the city's government of Semarang in 1992 entered Lawang Sewu as one of 102 historical buildings in Semarang which should be protected. Listeners, Lawang Sewu is located at Tugu Muda Complex, Jalan Pemuda, Central Semarang, Semarang, Central Java Province, presently at the center of Semarang City. So, the access to this tourism object is easy. Lawang Sewu is open every day starting from 6 a.m. until 9 p.m. local time. The entrance ticket is 10,000 rupiah for adult, 5,000 rupiah for students and kids. If you want to enter into basement, you will be charged 30,000 rupiah per person, and for the tourist guide is 30,000 rupiah. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Lawang Sewu in Central Java Province. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces
some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is transportasi umum, or in English, public transportation. Stay tuned. Next, it is a conversation about transportasi umum, or in English, public transportation. As usual, I say every sentence loudly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between A. Tony, a British man, and Sinta. They are on the plane on the way to Yogyakarta. Let's follow the conversation. Tony, apakah di Jogja ada transportasi umum? Apakah di Jogja ada transportasi umum? In English, is there any public transportation in Yogyakarta? Sinta, ya tentu saja, di sana tersedia transportasi umum. Ya tentu saja, di sana tersedia transportasi umum. Of course, the public transportation is available there. Tony, transportasi apa saja? Transportasi apa saja? What kinds of transportation are there? Sinta, ada bus Trans Jogja, taksi, dan kereta api. Ada bus Trans Jogja, taksi, dan kereta api. There are Trans Jogja buses, taxis, and train. Tony, apakah di Jogja juga ada kendaraan roda tiga? Apakah di Jogja juga ada kendaraan roda tiga? Is there also three-wheeled vehicle in Jogja? Apa namanya saya lupa? I forgot the name. Sinta. Beca. In English, beca or pedicab. Tony. Oh iya, beca. That's right, beca. Apakah ada kereta api cepat? Apakah ada kereta api cepat? In English, is there also express train? Sinta, tidak ada. Tidak ada. In English, no, there is not. After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Ada. In English, there is, are, and was, were. Tidak ada, there is not. Kereta api, train. Kereta api cepat, express train. Transportasi umum, public transportation. Beca, pedicab. Taksi, taxi. Tiga, three. Roda, wheel. Kendaraan roda tiga, three-wheel vehicle. Listener to ask about whether the public transportation in Jogja is available or not. You can say, apakah di Jogja ada transportasi umum? In English, is there any public transportation in Jogja? And if you want to ask about the existence of a kind of public transportation like express train, you can say, apakah di Jogja ada kereta api cepat? In English, is there any express train in Jogja? To answer the question, you just say ya ada or tidak ada. You also can say in a complete answer, ya, di Jogja ada transportasi umum. In English, yes, there is public transportation in Jogja. Or, di Jogja tidak ada transportasi umum. In English, no, there is not public transportation in Jogja. Listener, to know about what kinds of public transportation, you can say ada transportasi apa saja. Ada transportasi apa saja? In English, what kinds of transportation are there? To answer the question, you can say ada bus kota, ada taksi, ada kereta, ada beca. In English, there are city buses, taxis, trains, and beca or pedicab. Well, there are many kinds of public transportation in Indonesia. So you do not need to worry if you visit Indonesia, especially big cities like Bandung, Surabaya, Yogyakarta, Medan, and certainly Jakarta, the capital city of Indonesia. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We also hold monthly quiz with many interesting prizes. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present some keroncong songs by Indonesian male keroncong singer Ismanto. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Bhakti. Happy listening.
Ceranir malam mendesir alun bayu bangga bahana, teja sakti di alam bebas merdeka. Aku ingin menunaikan bakti, memohon restu dewa agar ditabahkan hati. Cerah nirmala mendesir alun bayu bagai bahana. Teja sakti
song Bhakti is an original Kroncong song that tells about gratitude for the independence and desire of duty to beloved country. As in the lyrics, in the independence world, I want to fulfill devotion to ask the blessing of God to be hearted. The Kroncong song, which is dedicated beautifully by Ismanto, who has a strong and characteristic vocal character. The songs summarized in a Golden Kroncong album of Ismanto. Not only talented to sing Kroncong, Ismanto also composed Kroncong songs sung by other Kroncong singers, including Waljina with a song entitled Elinga Bebaja Ing Margo, Wujung, and etc. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Jauh di Mata, Dekat di Hati by Ismanto. Thank you.
hanya engkau lupa akan aku ini ku menanti berita semalam untuk pengobat rindu hatiku. Jika malam mendatang, datang pula bayanganmu nan menyiksa diri. Tiada kejapkan, tapi makin nyata di mataku. Ingatkah akan janjimu, oh Dinda, pada malam nan bersaksi. Walaupun jauh di mata, namun selalu dekat di hati.
Selalu dekat di hati.
listener, as the title, the song Jauh di Mata, Dekat di Hati tells about the love story of a couple lovers who are now separated. After 1950, Kroncong music has the main place in Indonesia compared to other music genres. At that time, there came the legendary singers such as Waljina, S. Darmanto, Pink Astono, and Ismanto. Waljina and Ismanto won the radio singing contest or Bintang Radio, held by Radio Republik Indonesia RRI in 1950. However, there were not many references telling detail about Ismanto's music career in Kroncong music industry. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Iramaku and Sedap Malam. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.